Hi, hello. Okay, welcome everyone. Today we're going to be in the first class in Hilchos Erevin. I'd like to begin with an introduction and akdama. Last time we gave you an outline that there are four parts to Hilchos Erevin. First part of Hilchos Erevin is going to discuss the sugya of mechitzes, or the sugya of the four rishuyos. What are the four different domains on Shabbos? The second one is going to discuss the concept of a movi and a chotzer. Mavi is an alleyway, and a chatzar is a courtyard, two different type of enclosures, and how you can carry there. The third part is going to be the discussion of which parts of a community, of a neighborhood, need to be included within the Erev. And then the fourth and final part is exactly how do you join the people together, what we know as Eruvei Chatzeris. You have a pass, you have a box of matzahs, so do you rent places from the people? Are people mevatel rishus? The fourth way, again, is the fourth topic is the topic of how people join it together with the Erev. So today we begin the halachas of the four rishuyos. Rishus HaYochid, a private domain. Rishus HaRabim is a public domain. Karmelis, which is considered to be a third domain. And then the Mokim Ptur, which is a fourth domain. Now, regarding Hilchos Shabbos, as we know, there is an av malacha, an issa d'oraisa, to carry from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, to transfer from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim. That's performed in halacha by specifically lifting something, taking something from the private domain, and then its transfer, and then placing it into the other domain. That is the way by one does the malacha. So the halacha is called the malacha of Haitzah, one of the 39 malachas. Everything we're learning in Erevin relates to only this one malacha, the malacha of Haitzah. Now, there is the Lashon HaRambam, which the Mishnah Berurah brings over here in his Akdama. And the Lashon HaRambam is interesting. Lashon HaRambam says that, of course, all the malachas of Shabbos are halacha l'moshe misinai. They all. However, when we come to the malacha of Haitzah, of carrying, we find a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu made an announcement by the when they were raising funds, or collecting items for the building of the Mishkan. It says that everyone should stop coming from doing the malacha of donating to the Mishkan. And it says, and the people, they refrain from bringing. So it uses the word that people should stop doing a malacha of bringing. So you see the word of malacha in the pasuk, the Rambam is saying, is explicitly connected with the malacha of carrying, even though carrying something is not some type of work, it's not type of specific action of creating something. But again, this is the Isser of Haitzah, and this is where the four Rishuyos come in on Hilchos Shabbos, to know very specifically when is it the Isser of Haitzah from one to another, or what we call as Hachnasa. Hachnasa is bringing in. So that would mean transferring from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid. That's called Hachnasa, bringing in. Both of those, both directions. This halacha, by the way, and both of these malachas, Vaitzah and Hachnasa, apply both to wherever the person is standing, the orientation of the Baal Malacha. If he is standing in Rishus HaYochid and he is transferring something out, that's Haitzah. If he is standing in Rishus HaYochid still and bringing something in, that's Hachnasa. The same halachas apply to whether the person doing the malacha is standing outside in the Rishus HaRabim and he is picking something up and placing it into the Rishus HaYochid, that's Hachnasa, or taking something from the Rishus HaYochid, taking it out and putting it down in Rishus HaRabim. This is just a general description of what the malacha of Haitzah is. In addition, the malacha of Haitzah includes the Isser of Havara, that is carrying four Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, carrying, throwing, pushing, pulling, the same like by transferring, it's the same malacha. So it's under the same heading of the malacha of Haitzah, is Havara, carrying four Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. Just as a note, you should know, what's not well known, that even in Rishus HaRabim, where there's the Isser to carry in a Torah, one is l'chatchila, allowed to carry something less than four Amos. The Isser is only begins when you're carrying four Amos. But less than that, you're even allowed to do. So if you're standing in a street, and that street, let's say, qualifies to be a Rishus HaRabim, it's on Shabbos. Chas v'shalom, if you would carry Dalet Amos, and be Chayiv Karas. If you had Edim, it would be Chayiv Skila. But still, l'chatchila, you can pick something up, move it 2 or 3 feet, and put it back down without any issur, without any issur whatsoever. So again, these are just the two malachas, Haitzah and Havara, which are the malachas that are relevant to the whole discussion of Haitzah that we're going to have, the whole discussion of Erevin, excuse me, that we're going to have over the next couple of classes, the entire series. So now, Men HaTorah, one is only chayiv on Haitzah if he transfers from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, not Carmelis, not Malkin Patur. Men HaTorah, the reverse is true. If you carry from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid, Men HaTorah, then one is Mechuyiv. And this siman is going to discuss which things qualify as being a Rishus HaYochid and which areas qualify as being a Rishus HaRabim. Now, Midrabanon come in the other two Rishus. The Carmelis, a Carmelis is neither a Rishus HaRab, neither a Rishus HaYochid. It's lacking, if you will, the mechitzes, the partitions that make it unique as a Rishus HaYochid. But it's also lacking, I guess, the amount of traffic, if you will, or the size that would make it be a Rishus HaRabim. And that area is called a Carmelis. An easy example would be a woods where people don't walk. That would be a Carmelis. So now, Midrabanon, there is an Isser to carry from Rishus HaYochid into the Carmelis, Carmelis to Rishus HaYochid. Also, Midrabanon, there is an Isser to carry from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus, from the Rishus HaRabim, excuse me, into a Carmelis, or from a Carmelis into a Rishus HaRabim. The fourth one, the Malkin Patur, that's different. That's like a no man's land. Over there, that's too small to be of significance. And so there is no Issa de Rabbanon on this Malkin Patur when you are only putting something there from the Rishus HaYochid or taking it back into the Rishus HaYochid, or something in Rishus HaRabim, placing it on top of a Malkin Patur and taking it off. We'll see later, I think fire hydrants are pretty small. They could be only a Malkin Patur, and therefore if you're in a Rishus HaYochid, you can put something on a fire hydrant. Also, if you're in a street that qualifies as being a Rishus HaRabim, again, it has enough of traffic and it has enough of a measurement that it's a Rishus HaRabim, you still be allowed to put something on the Malkin Patur and take something off. What we're going to learn is an issue is transferring between a Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid through a Malkin Patur. That needs to be discussed in more detail. In general, that's an issue. So now, I have here on the notes about the methodology. It's not relevant to our discussion about their methodology, so we're just going to move on. A Rishus HaYochid. So, a Rishus HaYochid, one description is that it has mechitzes, means that it has partitions around it, or gates around it. And there's a machlokes rishonim to start off the sugya, that the Rambam holds that to be a Rishus HaYochid min HaTorah, it needs not one, two, three, but four walls. It needs four walls. It needs to be cordoned off in all four directions. Now, it doesn't need to have a complete mechitzis on all four sides. Okay, different amounts of mechitzis are okay. But the Rambam says that the fourth side, if you will, the opening, the fourth side, and it's enough if you put a lechi over there. A lechi is a stick that is 10 tefachim tall. Any size, any width is fine, as small as it can be. But it is a lechi is a pole that is 10 tefachim tall. So if you put that on the fourth side, that constitutes a fourth wall. And now you have four walls. So the Rambam Shita is that you need four walls in principle. The fourth wall, though, it's enough if it is a lechi. Most Rishonim don't learn this way, Rashi and the others, and they learn that three mechitzes is enough to make an area called a Rishus HaYochid. Okay? So, if you have an area that only has three walls around it, according to the Rambam, that's not a Rishus HaYochid. If a person will transfer to this area from a Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, then it wouldn't be chayv. But according to most Rishonim, a person transferring to an area that has three walls from a Rishus HaRabim will be over an Isser D'Oraisa. And on Shabbos, an Isser D'Oraisa carries with it the consequences are Karis, and with Edom and Asra, Chiyuv Skila, to make that very clear. So again, the first point they bring here is that the number of walls that you need. Now, this is put very, very simply. They do note here a Bir Halacha in Shin Samach Gimel. Because the Shita that holds that three walls are enough, that they bring here on the note, is even two walls on a lechi for the third wall would be enough. So if you have two walls, like a shape of an L, and then you put a lechi on the third side, that would be the third wall, and that would be a shusayach d'oraisa. That is a case number one. Case number two, if you have two walls opposite each other, and you put a lechi either in the top or at the bottom, that would also be three walls. This is what the Bir Halacha brings. And if you're going to have three walls this way, then again, according to Rashi, most Rishonim, that's Rishusayachid Ayraisa. Now, you have to know that it's not that simple. The Chazon Ish takes issue with this in Siman Ayin Beis. The understanding of what we just said at the Bir Halacha is that suppose you have a square area, you know, of 100 square feet. So you have 10 feet here, and you have 10 feet here, and you have some kind of lechi somewhere on the third side. The entire 100 square feet is going to be a Rishus Hayachid. The Chazon Ish says there's no such a thing. Wherever that lechi is, you draw a line perpendicular to the wall that's across it. And only that area within the lechi and the other two walls are the Rishus Hayachid, not the entire 100 square feet. So suppose your lechi is here on the bottom. It's about, 2 feet up. So from those 2 feet up, you draw a line all the way across, and you're only going to have 2 by 10, 20 square feet is going to be your Rishus Hayachid. Okay? Chazon Ish also seems to hold that neither would you say you should draw a line from our lechi, that is 2 feet off the bottom wall, diagonal till the top of the wall facing it, sort of on a diagonal. That would give you something like 60 square feet, which would be 10 feet, 10 feet, 2 feet, and now a diagonal all the way that way. That would probably be about 60 square feet. Chazon Ish holds that also doesn't. You don't look at it that way. But then again, according to the way we explain the according to the Mishnah Brura, seems to be understanding that if I have two walls, 10 feet by 10 feet, and then 2 feet up here I have a lechi, the entire 100 square feet, I look at it like a Rishus Hayochid. I don't think what I'm saying now is required for the actual shir, but there is so many practical applications that I wanted to bring it out. Now, we made two opinions regarding how many walls a Rishus Hayochid needs. The Rambam that you need four, and the Rashi and most Rishonim that three walls are enough. The Taz has a different way to understand the Shita of the Machaber. And he says, well, it depends. It depends, this enclosed area, what does it open it up into? If it opens up into a Rishus Harabim, so then three walls are not enough. Minat Torah, you need four. But if the area with three walls opens up into a Karmelis, then that's Rishus Hayachid D'Oraisa. That's the Shita of the Taz. I don't believe that the Mishnah Brura goes with his opinion. But it's brought here in the notes, so we're responsible to know the opinion of the Taz. Okay, now. Oh. No. I'm sorry, they don't bring the opinion of the Taz over here at all. The Taz is the next topic. So let's strike that from the record. The Taz I told you exists, but it's not brought here in the notes. Okay, next topic. The space between the walls. So, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah needs to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim with a mechitza of 10 tefachim tall. Okay? Just by the way, when we're always talking about tefachim and amos over here, how much is that halacha lemaisa in practical terms? So in general, I usually refer to the larger shir, which is the shir chazanish. It's not the chazanish shir. It's the chazam seifer shir, and it's before that the Noyde Behuda shir, and it goes way back. And in general, we stick with the larger shir. That is about 2 feet to the yama, or about 4 inches to the tefach. The shir known as a b'chaim noy shir, which is smaller, that is 3 inches to the tefach, and that's 18 inches, 1.5 feet to the amma. Those are the numbers. So really, if we're going to talk about carrying 4 ammas and Rishus Arabim, so we're going to say 4 ammas is between 6 and 8 feet, right? Between 6 and 8 feet. The smaller shear is 6 feet, the larger shear is 8 feet. When we're going to talk about that you need to make a mechitza around the Rishus, you need to make a partition in order to make a place kosher to carry, permissible to carry, that partition needs to be 10 tefachim tall. Now, those 10 tefachim, if it's 4 inches to the tefach, 10 times 4 is 40, so we're always going to refer to a mechitza as being 40 inches tall. Again, the smaller opinion is going to hold that it could be 30. If it's 30 inches, it's already enough. We always use these numbers when we discuss the share of the smaller share and the larger share, that we try to be machmer on both. In cases where, in other words, if a person needs to put up a partition like we mentioned, so you need to have a minimal amount of height. So when you need a minimal amount of something, we'll say, well, the minimal amount is going to be the larger share. When we're going the other way, we're saying, well, you need a maximum of this, you need at least this much, right? So, the other way around. When you're going to say, when it goes l'chumra, so in other words, let's say a person has a break in his partition. And we're going to learn later that if you have a break 10 amas wide, it presents a problem. So we're going to say there, the break of 10 amas, we're not going to say it's 20 feet. We're not going to say it's 20 feet. We're going to say it's less, even the smallest here, somewhere between 15 and 20 feet. Because we want to be machmer in both ways. Okay. So now, getting back to the question over here. Rosh Hashanah Yochid is defined as an area being 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim and with a partition around it of 10 tefachim. Now, the question is, in the Mishnah Berurah here, is that do you include the thickness of the walls to the total 4x4 tefachim of the area of the Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Do you include it? And he brings a machlokes that the Taz's opinion is that you include the thickness of the walls. The Magen Avraham, his language is that you need 4x4 within the walls. The Mishneh Berurah says most Rishonim hold that the area inside needs to be 4x4. You cannot use the walls to complete the shear. And he adds the Mishneh Berurah that there are opinions that hold, like the Tazashita, that you include the walls in the area. Another opinion he brings, the El Yerabah B'Shem the Rajba, that the walls, if they're large enough that you can put something on top, then you include the walls within the shear. That's what he says. The Mishneh Berurah writes in the name of the Paiskim that this is only discussing the on top of the walls. If you put something on top of the walls, it's Rosh Hashanah Yochid. But down in the area in between the walls, where it isn't 4x4, because it's only 4x4 together with the walls. So that area inside, that in itself doesn't have 4x4, if you would take something from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and put it in there, and put it down in that hole, that wouldn't have a din Rosh Hashanah Yochid. you wouldn't be chayv. You wouldn't be chayv. Now, really, I mean, Chazanish asks a simple question. Achrayim asks this question. You know, if we're going to say that, like the Taz, that since if you put something on top, that will be a Rishus HaYochad on top, because the sum total with the thickness of the walls is, how much? 4x4 Tfachim. So that hole down there should have a din of Choy Rishus HaYochad. Choy Rishus HaYochad means you have holes, like in your house, you have a hole in the wall. That hole in the wall is not a Karmelis or a Makom Patur. That hole in the wall services the Rishus HaYochad. It's called Choy Rishus HaYochad. The holes, cavities of the Rishus HaYochad. So here too, L'chaira, we're going now into Taz's opinion, where it's sufficient if to have 4x5 Tvachim, including the thickness of the walls. So why those in the Mishnah Berurah is saying that below those walls, inside that area that's less than 4x4, that it doesn't have a din Rishus HaYochad. L'chaira, the top of it constitutes Rishus HaYochad, so the inside should be considered a cavity of the Rishus HaYochad, and it should be considered a Rishus HaYochad. So the Chazanish explains that the logic goes something like this. He has a few explanations, but one explanation he says like this. He says the only reason that, in the Taz's opinion, that you could really say that the top is 4x4, right, even though you don't have the area surrounded by mechitzas, is because you're including the mechitzas with the svara that I can place something on top from the beginning of this wall to the end of that wall, and I have a hole 4. So the moment you put something down, you can't go inside. You can't get there. So you cannot create Rishus HaYochad in a way that you can now get down what's inside, because you have to look as if there's a, I guess, a virtual complete covering 4x4 in order to say that this becomes Rishus HaYochad. And so therefore, I cannot say that now I look as if there's a hole in there, because if there's a hole in there, then it's not a full 4x4. You're going to be missing your complete 4x4 area that you need. So therefore, the Chaz explains it wouldn't be logical. It cannot be that area could be considered the cavity of the Rishus HaYochad in such a case. Okay. To summarize, for a place to be considered a Rishus HaYochad, we need to be 4x4 Tfachim wide. In our measurements, 4x4 Tvachim is somewhere between 12 and 16 inches. Okay? By 12 or 16 inches. And the if you would throw from Rishus HaRabim into an area that's only 3x3 Tvachim, you would be Pater. In a case where this area between the Mechitzas is 3 Tvachim, but together with the thickness of the walls, I have 4x4 Tvachim. So then we mentioned that there was a Machlokes, and that Machlokes was talking about on top, the area on top. That all, but of course, all the way inside, we assume it's not a Rishus HaYochad. So let's go on now to a ditch. Okay? We have a ditch. A ditch, if it's going to be 10 Tvachim deep, 40 inches deep, and the area will be 4x4 Tvachim, that's Rishus HaYochad. So if you have a ditch in the Rishus HaRabim, again, that is 10 Tvachim deep, and it is 4x4 Tvachim wide, that's going to be Rishus HaYochad. If someone from the Rishus HaRabim would put something down into that ditch, or take something from that ditch and bring it out, be moitzi it into the Rishus HaRabim, put it down in the Rishus HaRabim, it'd be over the Yisr Dairaisa of Haitza. Now, a pole or a stand. You have a stand. If the stand is 10 Tvachim tall and the top is 4x4, that is also considered a Rishus HaYochad. Now, the way they explained it here, this is one of the pshatim of how exactly this works. I don't have mechitzas. If I'm standing on top of this omud, on top of this pole, on top of this stand, it's 4x4 Tvachim wide, but I'm not surrounded by physical mechitzas. So the way it works is with the concept of good asik mechitza, meaning the asik means to rise up. So we say that you look as if there's a virtual mechitzas. The outside walls of the stand that are 10 tefachim tall, they continue virtually up. And they surround me when I'm standing on top of the stand. And so that gives me the mechitzas, that gives me what's cordoning me off and giving me the four mechitzas that are 10 tefachim tall. This is the most accepted mahalach, is what they bring here in their notes, of why if you're standing on top of a stand, this is going to be considered a Rishus HaYachid. So therefore, in Rishus HaRabim, if you have a stand 10 tefachim tall, 4 by 4 tefachim wide, if someone were to place something on that amit, hanoisen al gabov, or hanoitel mihem, take from on them, I'm quoting a Lashon HaMishnah in the 11th Perek Shabbos, then the person would be chayv. A post box is an example. If you have one of those big blue post box, take the commercial mail, those things are usually 10 tefachim tall. They're 40 inches tall. They are 4 by 4 tefachim wide, 12 to 14 inches wide and long. So if one is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, takes something from the Rishus, puts it on top of the blue box, he has done a Nisa Dairais. He takes from the blue blocks, takes it down, puts it down. He has done a malacha dairaisa. A car. All right. Yeah, most cars are pretty big. And a car is usually in the street. And so the street, let's say it's a Rishus HaRabim. In this, you want to take something and put it on top of a car on Shabbos, or take something off a car on Shabbos. You are being over the malacha of Hoytzah from Rishus HaRab to Rishus HaYachid. A car is 10 tefachim tall. It's definitely 30 foot. The hood is probably, and the trunk is probably 10 tefachim, 30, 40 inches off the ground. And it's 4 by 4. And it's 4 by 4. It happens to be inside the car too. If you open the door and you go in a car is surrounded by the windows and it has the airspace inside of a Rishus HaYachid. So throwing something into a car from the street or throwing from the car out into the Rishus HaRabim would be a malacha of Haitza, would be Nisa Dairaisa, to go from there into there. Very good. A mound. Okay. So if we have a mound in itself is not a vertical drop, right? It's not completely vertical up. It goes on a slant. It's an incline. Okay, you walk up. So there's a halacha in the Gemara that it's called a tail, a mound, tail hamislaket. A tail hamislaket. If you go 4 amas, and by 4 amas, you go up 10 tefachim. That's how steep it is. Then that's considered to be a mechitza. Because since it's not easy normally to walk up, you know, such a mount, such an incline, that incline takes the din of a mechitza. It's just as good to me as if this is like that in a halacha. It's the same way. Now, there's a lot of lumdus and whatever, how exactly we look at this, how it works, and with a chazanish and Reb Chaim, Al Rambam and Sefer, we're not getting into all of that. But the bottom line is, it's a Gemara that if you have a mound and it's an incline and it's 4 amas, okay, 4 amas, when you go 4 amas, till 10 tefachim, so then it's going to be a mechitza. If it's not as steep, in other words, if I have to walk 10 amas till I get to, you know, 10 tefachim off the ground, then that's normal walking. That area does not make a mechitza to the 10 tefachim over here. Doesn't make a mechitza for this area. If I walk 2 amas, like this, and then I come to 10 tefachim tall, that's really steep, so that has a din of a mechitza. And then this area on top of the mound, is considered as if I've got a mechitza here. because this incline is like a mechitza. It's just as good as it would have been like that. The same thing applies, by the way, to a ditch. If you have a ditch where you can walk down into the ditch, the incline, how steep it is, has the same rules. So if you walk down to the ditch and it's very steep, so if you're standing in the ditch, those steep walls have a din of a mechitza. So if you're 10 tefachim below the surface, okay, and on the floor, 10 tefachim below the surface, and those inclines are very steep, they will have a din of a mechitza. And I'll have a din rishus hayachid, minat taira. And the guy standing on top in the rishus harabim, who throws in there, is being ovenis or dairaisa vaitza. Now, if the mound has a very low incline, it's very low, it takes you about 10 feet to get down 10 tefachim, so that's not steep enough, and then that is considered to be as a straight land. And therefore, it doesn't make the area on bottom a Rishus HaYachid. What it does exactly is another discussion, not for now. But it does not make it a Rishus HaYachid because it's a very low incline going down. Now, there's something they didn't mention here. The Rav of Yerushalayim, going back 500 years ago, was the Maral Bach. He was in the generation of the Beis Yosef. Actually, even a little bit before. And he has a lot of responsa with the Meribe Rav. That's the Beis Yosef's Rebbe, who was in Tzass, and he was a Rav in Yerushalayim. And he has very famous tshuvas. They recently reprinted in a gorgeous edition. He's very famous for the big disagreement about the smicha, if you could reinstitute the smicha. And he has a huge part of his sefer devoted to that topic. But that's not our topic. Our topic is Tel HaMislakeit, a mound. So he discusses exactly, as you see here in the picture that they printed in their thing about the four Amis is showing that, that the incline going up, that's your four Amis. Not the ground. It's not the ground. Okay. So if this is the ground on the floor, your incline, you measure four amas here. How many tefachim is four amas? Four times six. 24 tefachim, 10 tefachim off the ground. That's how steep it needs to be. So if the mound over here is 10 tefachim high, and the incline is from beginning to end 24 tefachim, okay, then that's considered to be too steep, right? And it has a din of a mechitza. So really, that means that if I drop a line and I measure from here to here, it's going to be less than 24. It's going to be about 22 tefachim. So the Maral Bach brings an opinion that says that when we say four amas, 10 tefachim tall, we mean from here to here. This is not 24 tefachim, this is 26 tefachim, till you get to the top of the mount. That's a lower amount. The Malbachim, and the Merkevis HaMishnah actually holds this way. The Malbach himself holds the way the Mishnah Berurah brings, and that is that no. The four amas, the 24 tefachim, is the measurement of the incline itself. It's not the ground. It's the incline itself. So when you start at point A, and you walk up the incline to get to the top of your mound, at 10 tefachim, you're walking 24 tefachim. Which, on ground level, is about 22 tefachim from point here till the beginning of the mound. Okay? I guess feel free to call me if you don't understand what I'm saying, and I'll explain it to you. Actually, my Rebbe, Hagoyin Rav Shlomo Miller Shlita in Toronto, he brings a Mefurish Toisvis in Zvachim that is a Raya not like the Maral Bach, not like the way the Mishnah Berurah paskens. It's a Raya to the Merkevis HaMishnah. Because Toisvis over there says that, according to one opinion, there in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach had a ramp. And that ramp went up 9 amos, and it was 20 amos long. And Tosfos over there has a question that's too steep. It's too steep. So if you do the numbers, according to the Maral Bach, that you measure 4 amos, 24 tvachim this way, to a height of 10 tvachim, right? That's pretty steep. That's steeper than the case of the Kevesh of the Mizbeach. That was 20 amos by 9, if you do the numbers. But if you learn the other way, like the Mekeves HaMishnah, which means it's 4 amos this way, which is actually 26 tvachim this way, yeah, then the Kevesh Mizbeach is actually steeper than that. It is steeper than that. 20 amos by 9 amos, if you do the numbers, is steeper than that. So he found a Tosfos that discusses an incline that's in between the two opinions. It's not as steep as the Marbach, the way the Mishmur paskins, but it is steeper than the other opinion, the Merkevus HaMishnah. And Tosfos says that's too steep. That's Tela Mislaket, it's too steep. So Lachoris and Mefurish of Tosfos, not like the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, he later on explains that this might have to do with the lumdus of how Tela Mislaket works, according to Reb Chaim and the Chazanish's Shita, Chazanish Kabili Shita, see how he argues on Reb Chaim. We're not going to get into all that right now. So that's basically the halacha of a mount. So you don't need vertical mechitzas, even slanting mechitzas. By the way, Chazanish says, if you have a fence around your property and your fence isn't 90 degrees straight, right, it's this way, right, it's like this way, there. You know, if it's 45 degrees, it's still kosher, right? 45 degrees. Right. Again, it's got to be 10 tefachim off the ground at this level as the drop line goes. But even if it'd be 25 degrees, that's Tela Mislaket. So if you have your fence around your property that's not 90 degrees, it's slanted halfway, 45 degrees, as long as it's 10 tefachim off the ground at this point, you should have a kosher mechitza. Even if it's less than halfway, even if it's 25 degrees, as long as it's that steep that we say normal people don't walk up such a thing, that has a din of a mechitza. It's a partition. It's not straight land. It's a partition. And therefore, as long as like your 25 degree angle fence that's plots down like this, right? It's only a third of the height it used to be. But it is 10 tefachim off the ground at the end. They still have a din mechitza and you can carry it in your backyard and it's going to be okay. Next, we have over here above the walls. Okay. Not to confuse things, we discussed before if the walls are included in the 4x4 or not included in the 4x4. Forget about that right now. Now we're talking about a case where you have 4x4 and more. The Gemara says that when you have an area 4x4 or larger that has walls around it, since these walls make the inside of Rishus HaYachid, so it's a Kal V'Chaimah that they make themselves a Rishus HaYachid too. And so, this mechitza that's 10 tefachim tall, even though it's only an inch thick on top, it doesn't have 4x4, that inch becomes a Rishus HaYachid min HaTorah, with the logic of a Kal V'Chaimah. If it makes the area that it's surrounding, that it's enclosing Rishus HaYachid HaRaisa, La'acherim Oysa Mechitza, so that's the other halacha over here. So this is not to be confused with what we mentioned before, if we include the thickness of the wall in the 4x4 tefachim or not. This is not to be confused with that. So now, if a person is walking with Shusha Rabban Doivaisa, and there's a chain link fence around a large backyard, the top of that chain link fence, even if it's looks like it's facing the Rishus HaRabim, that's a Rishus HaYachid, even though it's only 2 inches thick. Why? because it's making the area behind the Rishus HaYachid. So if you take an item from the Rishus HaRabim and lift it up, put it on top of that fence that's only 2 inches thick, that's Rishus HaYachid. And that's going to be an Isra of the Malacha on Shabbos, an Isra Dairaisa. Okay. I think this finishes the first class of what we had over here. My phone number is 732-534-2236. I introduced myself for, again, my name is Shmuel Spitz. I'm a Rav in Cleveland. And my phone number is 732-534-2236. My email is spitz, S-P-I-T-Z, 8229 at Gmail. That's spitz, S-P-I-T-Z, 8229 at gmail.com. Feel free to call me or to email me if you want to discuss any of the topics that we discussed in this class. Everyone should wish you all a lot of hatzlacha in reviewing the material and mastering the material. And the Mitzvah Shem, look forward to continue with Moshe Yurim in Hilchas Erevin.